1108, welcome back to McGraw Show, Big 550 KTRS. It's Monday, and that means we need to check in with our friend Dick Weiss of WeissWright.com, 30-year editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 20 years at the Metro section. He's our media critic. Dick, it's always welcome to have you on the show.
Great to be back.
All right, so this story about Hillary Rodham Clinton and Matt Drudge, I think, should be read by every journalist student and everyone who wants to talk about the, quote, liberal media going.
Yeah, it's quite a story. It seems that Hillary Clinton is playing ball with Matt Drudge, and Matt Drudge, of course, was the person who really sensationalized the Monica Lewinsky case.
Broke it. That and, yeah. And Newsweek, I think, were the two big outlets that broke it, that sort of invented Matt Drudge back
then. That's right. But as they say in politics, no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interests.
The story, I think, is a must-read for anybody who wants to find out about how the life cycle of a story begins. And Hillary Clinton's people, or according to this article, the people who refuse to be named, basically say, if you get it on Drudge, the rest of the world will pick it up.
That's right. And the story mentions that apparently some information, campaign finance information, showing that Hillary Clinton had raised more money than Barack Obama, appeared on Drudge's site 20 minutes before it was supposed to be released to the public. How did it get there? The suspicion is that Hillary's people leaked it to Mr. Drudge.
Yes. however, it also goes into detail about how the Bush administration befriended Drudge.
Right.
And how John Kerry's campaign didn't. And
right.
Bush got much better treatment than Kerry did on the site.
All right. So what people can decide about Hillary Clinton is what she won't do to be president of the United States. On the other hand, if she's that good, if she's that calculating, and that strategic,
right,
she might be a pretty good president.
But Drudge also has somebody on the inside of, seems like, virtually every single daily newspaper, because he always breaks the story before the own publication breaks the story.
Yes.
I mean, they'll have inside scoops on the Washington Post. 60 Minutes, you'll always expect a 60 Minutes blurb Friday on the Drudge Report.
Yeah.
And it's always, according to sources, they're going to have Valerie Plame on Sunday to talk about it. And he has, chapter and verse of what's going to be on there. I think Matt Drudge is the most important and influential person in the media today.
Well,
you disagree.
I'd have to think about that. He might be.
I think editors, all the way on down to, this is one of the first sites I go to every morning, because it's a great clearinghouse for information, and if it's on there, chances are people will be talking about it.
Yeah, his tentacles seem to be everywhere.
I mean, it used to be Edward R. Murrow, now it's Matt Drudge.
I don't think I'd put them in the same class.
I'm not saying I'm putting them in the same class. I'm saying
just in terms of being influential.
Influential, the most influential.
Yeah. Yep. I can think of institutions that are influential. I think the New York Times still sets the agenda, the daily diet for whatever lots of people are talking about
right. Across
America. But in terms of sizzle, Drudge rules.
I don't know. Anyway. All right. You got a good story out of the St. Louis Business Journal.
Yeah. I was very impressed with the St. Louis Business Journal's latest edition. At the top of the page, they have a terrific piece by Christopher Trito about a local company that I had never heard of called Fig, with a period at the end.
That's the liposuction. Yeah, that's the liposuction.
Yes, and lots of complaints to the Better Business Bureau, lots of complaints from folks who've gone through their process and suffered quite a bit, and a terrific piece. And then below it, there's a piece that I was a little bit skeptical about, because it seemed like such a Valentine to a guy named Mike Keithley, who is... It says he's transformed every aspect of the state of Missouri's massive real estate portfolio, in fact, saving taxpayers thousands, maybe millions of dollars in lower costs for housing the state's offices. And it just seemed like such a puff job. But I read back through some other clips in the Post-Dispatch as well, and Keithley apparently is doing a great job. And so you have this, one really hard-hitting story, and one story that was revelatory in its own way. It was positive. And this Keithley apparently is a sensational, I've never put these two words together, a sensational state bureaucrat. Actually, that's three words.
Missouri is, I believe, the largest office holder in the state. The state of Missouri is the largest office holder. They have they control the most office space for all their agencies and governmental entities.
Here, his efforts have resulted in $20.9 million returned to Missouri taxpayers.
Yeah. That fig and that liposuction, that's an interesting thing. So it talks about how they're getting beaten up.
Yeah, basically, as a very for some people anyway, it's a very painful procedure, and there's a money back guarantee.
Right.
But apparently, you have to go through all the procedure and all the pain.
Right.
Before you can get your money back, and then it's then they're a little slow in returning.
And this fig thing is where they just put some cream on you and it melts away, right?
Or injections too. Injections, I mean, there's different processes, but yeah, it's my understanding.
Yeah, and the weight loss thing, I don't, you know, people keep falling for it. Year after year, month after month, for these solutions. And as Victoria can tell you, it's diet and exercise. Eat good food, exercise. Just take a few more calories.
What are you talking about?
On.
It's body solutions.
Right. We were talking about that before.
Oh, gee,
everybody needs to know that McGraw-Millhaven was perhaps one of the few talk show hosts that did not. Body solution.
You are correct. I did not.
You both know of what you speak because McGrath lost 60 pounds, and you're still losing. And Dick, you've lost how much?
Well, I lost 30, then gained back 10.
Well, don't make me sound so fat. I lost, but then I gained, and now I'm losing
again. No, and you're still losing.
Overall, I've lost like 300 pounds over my life.
Oh, well, you know what?
Right? I guess I have too when you look at it that
I'm
way.
I'm complimenting you. Take it.
By the way, speaking of weight loss, I think Andy Rooney last night on 60 Minutes said it best. He was talking about the books that people send.
Yes, I saw that.
And there's now published the last, and the title of it is The Last Self-Help Book You'll Ever Need. So now you don't have to buy another one. You just go out and buy that one. That should be good.
I think so. It was nice of him to plug it,
wasn't
it?
Yeah,
I bet those will sell. There was a piece in the New York Times by Ben Stein who writes about business. He's also a comic. And he opens his story with buy the Taco Supreme at Taco Bell. It's much better than anything you could ever get at a fancy pants restaurant. And then he goes on to talk about economic theory or whatever. And I'm thinking those Taco Supremes are going to be flying out of that restaurant.
Ben Stein was also, I believe, a speechwriter for Nixon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very clever guy.
And then he went on to become the teacher in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Right.
There you go.
Bueller.
I'm going to ask you a question here, Dick Weiss. Does the universe have a purpose?
Yes. We just don't know what it is. But there are a lot of people who've thought about it, believe it or not. And in the New York Times, you will find a double truck, two-page takeout that begins to grapple with the purpose of the universe. And this was not a news story. This was an ad, essentially, bought by the John Templeton Foundation, supporting science and investing in the big questions, it says. And they got all kinds of interesting people who Elie Wiesel, Paul Davies, a physicist and cosmologist, who are addressing this question. And they have about, five paragraphs from each of these thinkers. One says no, one says yes, one says certainly, one says perhaps, one says I hope so, the universe has a purpose. And they're fascinating, and they continue online at templeton.org, I believe, is the website. And you go read about them. And it's terrific stuff. I mean, it's not the kind of stuff that you'll find on Drudge. I admit that.
Right, yeah.
And it's probably not the kind of stuff that people who don't like Dale Chihuly would want to read.
I didn't say I didn't like him. He was a very nice man. I just don't understand
his glass. Yeah. But it's really very, very interesting, and I recommend that people go to this website. I think it's templeton.org /purpose, and you can read about it. And this is the role when you're talking about how newspapers can no longer afford to write great stuff anymore or hire people the time to do it. Increasingly, I think foundations will play a role in putting out some interesting and good information on important topics.
We have had the Don Imus controversy come and go. He's now going to be back. Another pundit is in the news, and she made some pretty outrageous statements.
Oh.
And seems like it just was no big deal. Ann Coulter, who Either I refuse to put her on the show or she refuses to come back on the show. I don't know which it is. Said that Jews need to be perfected, that they are not perfect because they don't believe Jesus Christ came down and was the Son of God and was the Savior. Jews, she says, need to be perfected. And you know what? No real controversy over that.
Well, there were some people who were outraged by it, and I don't know where the Anti-Defamation League is on it. I hadn't seen anything from them. They usually get upset with comments like that. But there was a piece in Leonard Pitts, an African-American columnist, had a piece in the Post-Dispatch over the weekend, really taking her to task because this sort of language, it really borders on hate speech, infects a culture. And you don't have to go back too far, 50, 60 years, to Nazi Germany, where the concentration camps were preceded by this kind of speech. And so he was raising an alarm, and he said a lot of people think, well, let's just ignore it and it'll go away. And he says that his experience, the African American experience and the Jewish experience, are such that that's not the case. Now, what does she mean by perfected? Essentially what she's saying is that everybody ought to be a Christian,
right?
And that individually, I could say I'm Jewish. I could say that I could use some perfecting myself individually. But when you talk about groups, that's another order of business.
I am shocked that this hasn't gotten, Don Imus gets fired for calling the Rutgers basketball team a nappy-headed hoe. Bad,
right.
No question about it, but the man lost his job.
That's right.
And was vilified and was a four-day story. Ann Coulter says Jews need to be perfected and barely a blip.
Yeah, well, of course, Don Imus was an employee of CBS Radio,
right,
and NBC or MSNBC, right, Television, and Ann Coulter is employed by whom?
Well, by nobody, but right, she goes on all the major outlets,
right,
to sell her book.
Right, and that's where I think the line should be drawn.
Right.
Because we don't have, generally speaking, you don't, talk show hosts in general do not have Holocaust deniers,
right,
on the air.
Well, and if you do, you challenge them.
Right, 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 right. And you take them on. But, you know, Ann Coulter's been on, Chris Matthews, who is a fairly mainstream journalist. And, I think in that case, he should draw the line and say no more.
I agree with you. Yeah. All right. What's the best story we've never read?
Well, this one is close to my heart. Have you ever gone to, the Y or community center and taken a little class, French conversation? Well, this is a story in the Washington Post, a piece about some women who've taken a class, started a class like that, and have been going at it now for 30 years. It's French, and they are, some of them are in their 80s and 90s, and the instructor is beginning to think that maybe the class has run its course, and these women are just don't know what they're going to do, because it really means a lot to them. It means more than the language. It's they get together to have community, and the reason it resonates with me is that my wife is in a Hebrew group,
right,
that meets, and now it's only in its sixth year, and they are well short of their 80s and 90s, but I can see what's going on there. They have this community. And of course, they take this Hebrew. My wife cannot even order a bowl of soup if she went to Israel because it's biblical Hebrew, okay? So she can talk about the goat going over the mountain to Moab,
right,
but cannot order a sandwich.
But it's more of a social networking, socially enjoyable.
It's spiritual. It's they talk about their lives in between the Hebrew, and it's just a great thing. And this piece really really pinpoints what makes that so special. And it's in you can find the link to that particular story on my website, weisreit.com, and take you 5 minutes to read. And it's a very moving piece.
We're short on time. Tell me about William Wu.
Oh, William Wu will be honored and remembered at the Millstone Memorial Lecture Thursday at the St. Louis University Law School. You can also find the particulars on that at weisreit.com. And it is it's Thursday evening, and it's will be a panel discussion about the future of journalism. And a lot of the things that Bill Wu was afraid would happen, the late Bill Wu, who died about a year ago, have happened in journalism, and the question is, where do we go from here?
All right, that's weisreit.com. Dick Weiss, our guest every Monday. He's our media critic, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 20 years with the Metro section. Are we happy with the Post since the last round of buyouts last couple weeks? What's your initial thought?
Well, you know, I think that the Post-Dispatch has had a few good weeks. At least the Sunday papers have been very interesting. So far, so good. But you can tell that they're kind of running out of material. They're running editorials from other places,
right,
at the bottom of the page. And I just saw a piece from the Bloomington Pantograph from a reporter who left that paper about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So they're filling in the back pages with some stuff.
But, all right.
So far, so good.
To be determined. Dick Weiss, ladies and gentlemen, weissright.com. Back in a moment. Big 550 KTRS.